If you have your Bibles tonight, I wish you'd turn with us to the book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. I wanted to mention two things before we read tonight. I wanted to ask you if you would to, if you didn't fill out one of those forms this morning, or if you didn't get one, to please get one in regards to your name and address and your birthday and so forth. And I don't know if the Social Security number is on there or not, but if it's not, put it on there. I need to charge some stuff. But anyway, there's a lot of information there, and we want to try to update our membership and to also give you an opportunity to look at several things in regards to create a church directory, at least paper-wise. And also wanted to ask you to remember Felton tonight. Felton has a real serious problem in regards to his physical health, and he has to go to the doctor Tuesday and discuss some serious surgery with him this coming Tuesday. So please remember Felton tonight in prayer. And I want you to turn with us, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 34. And I want to mention a few things that are here, and then I'm going to kind of go down into the last part of this chapter and speak to you in regards to some things that are important. In Ezekiel chapter 34, the Lord speaks to Ezekiel, and if you look in verse 2, you'll see that he is to prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Now, the shepherds of Israel were the leaders. Civil and judicial and political leaders and so forth of Ezekiel's time and whatever. And the Lord was really displeased with them. And so he tells Ezekiel what to say. And he says, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, and should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And this is what they were supposed to do. And you'll see that in verse 3, they ate the fat, they clothed themselves with the wool, they kill them that are fed, and they feed not the flock. And then, if you'll notice some things that the Lord says, he says they don't care for them. They're diseased, and they are driven away, they're lost, they have no direction, they have no place to go, and so forth. And he says that the shepherds of that day had ruled over them with cruelty, they had no compassion, and so forth. Now, when Jesus came to the earth, he came in such a way as to introduce himself in a manner that he would be known as the Good Shepherd, and especially to the people of Israel. And if you'll notice in verse 5 that the Lord tells Ezekiel that his people, Israel, was scattered because there is no shepherd. I'm not going to turn there, but if you look to Matthew 9 and 36, you'll see that Jesus had compassion on the multitudes because they had no shepherd. And this is the way in which the Lord is trying to show us that when He came especially to the Jew first. If you'll look in Ezekiel 34, verse 6, you'll see that His sheep had wandered through all the mountains. In verse 8, they have no shepherd. And in verse 9, the shepherds are to hear the Lord's word because He is against them. And in verse 11, you'll see that, "Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." If you look in Matthew 10 and verse 6, Matthew 18 and verse 11, you'll see that is exactly what the Lord Jesus did. That's why He used the parable of the shepherd seeking the sheep. It was to be a physical evidence of the truth that God had come to seek His sheep, to seek His people. And then if you look down in verse 15 of Ezekiel 34, you'll see that He says, "I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God." That's what the Lord Jesus did when He fed the 5,000. He had them to sit down. And this was just another physical evidence of the truth of Ezekiel chapter 34. The Lord Jesus was the good, chief, and great shepherd. He was the good shepherd. He still is, and He will be the chief shepherd who will come again to help His people. Now, if you look to the last verse in Ezekiel 34, you'll see that He's talking about men. "And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men." These are the people of Israel that the Lord is speaking about. So I just wanted you to see what the Lord Jesus came as and how He came and what the purpose. You know, people say, well, the shepherd seeking the sheep is a good, tender little relationship. It's more than that. It's to fulfill the truth of the Lord's Word. It's the existence of a relationship between God and Israel. And the Lord said in John 10 that He had other sheep that were of this fold. Now then, in Ezekiel 34, you'll see an interesting statement in verse 20. And I want to start reading in verse 20. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, Behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because you have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the diseased with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad, therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle." And the Lord promises here to restore those that are driven away, to heal those that are diseased, and to feed those that are lean, and so forth. Now, when the Lord comes to really fulfill this, He says four things in the next few verses that are of really great importance that I want you to see. And the first is in verse 23, "And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken this." Now, when Ezekiel wrote this, David was dead. he wasn't alive. But Ezekiel was told of the Lord of some things in regards to this, that even though David was dead and had been dead for many years, the thing that God promised would still come to pass. Life or death does not alter the truth of the Lord's Word. Now that's difficult for us to comprehend sometimes, but this is the promise of the Lord to fulfill His Word, even though the physical existence of this man David didn't exist. He was dead. He was buried. His body had deteriorated. That does not alter the Lord's Word in the least. David, you see, when God made this covenant with David in the book of Samuel, this covenant, if it existed on the life of David, would have been invalid. It would have been gone. But this was the Word of God. And God said, I will bring this to pass. So one day, when the Lord comes back again, one day in the kingdom rule of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a true shepherd who will really feed the Lord's people, take care of them, provide for them, and it'll be David. The Lord has promised this. David said himself in Psalm 16, my flesh shall rest in hope. And even though this prophecy in Psalm 16 sometimes had an application to the Lord Jesus, it still had an application to David himself. And the man David was a shepherd. He was exalted to be a king. And when he was exalted to be a king, the Lord made this covenant with him. And one day, he'll come back to be an exalted king in the precious position of being a shepherd to the Lord's people on this earth. And that's a promise that the Lord has made. It's a promise that illustrates the power of the Lord's Word. It also illustrates the truth of the resurrection. If there would be no resurrection, then Ezekiel would be foolish to mention this. But there is, and David will be that great man. But there's some other things that are mentioned here. And I'd like for you to just slowly consider these things. And by the way, is anybody hot? Please open the doors or something. But anyway, that's not part of the message. But look with me in Ezekiel 34 again. Look with me in verse 25, and we'll look at the second thing that he says. I will make with them a covenant of peace, that is his sheep. After David has been made the shepherd, he will make with them a covenant of peace. And God says, I will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Why will he do that? Now, I know, a long time ago, this is a phrase that I don't fully understand even now. I'm sure that I don't completely understand. But I thought, Lord, that don't help me at all. Because when I always slept in the woods, it was chiggers and bugs and crickets and stuff like this. I didn't like that at all. And roughing it is setting the thermostat instead of making a campfire or something. But what does the Lord mean? He says with these people, and this is the only place in the Bible where the word woods is, I'm glad the Lord, that He used an Alabamian phrase there. It's actually forest. But Alabamians say woods. So anyway, the Lord says that they will sleep in the woods. I want you to look with me for a minute in regards to this, back to the book of Genesis, chapter 2. And Genesis, chapter 2. I want you to read with me verse 21 and verse 22. In verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Do you see the word sleep? It's the same word that Ezekiel uses. It's a profound sleep. And this is what the Lord says in Ezekiel 34 and verse 25. Do you see that the Lord took out of the body of Adam a rib, and that the bride for Adam came out of the body? And in the time of the millennium, and in the time of the kingdom rule of the Lord Jesus, that it is the bride that will rule and reign with the man Christ Jesus. And it is out of His body that the faithful, the diligent, the loyal, the believing, and so forth will rule and reign with Him. And there are several things that I would like for you to see in regards to this. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Did you know that the guy that invented chloroform, I think is that the first thing, Mike, that was invented to put people to sleep? Do you know, as a pharmacist, or ether? Okay, maybe whichever one it was. This guy invented this to try to put people to sleep, to operate on them. And the medical profession in his day, years and years ago, thought that that was evil. And that people that were to have surgery or to be operated on needed to suffer. God, help us all. But that's the truth. And so they brought him before these men and this board. And the thing that this man used was Genesis 2:21 to prove that God was merciful. And aren't you thankful for Genesis 2:21? But anyway, one of the reasons for this sleep was the elimination of pain or of any difficulty. And pain did not necessarily result just as a result of sin. But this was a God-induced sleep that produced a marvelous thing. And it established a union which was to continue even through the millennial age. And God says that they will sleep in the forest. Let me show you one other thing, and I won't put you to sleep with this, but let me ask you to look to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Look in verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a horror of great darkness fell upon him, and God made a covenant with him. Do you suppose that this sleep that Ezekiel mentions will be a result of the rest that God will give as the Creator and the covenant that He has made with Abraham in regards to this covenant in Genesis chapter 15? And if you'll look with me for a minute to Psalms 127... Let me read a verse here in this psalm, and I'll kind of go along to another thought. Psalms 127. Look with me in the first verse where the Lord says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman watcheth, but in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep." God gives sleep. This is the sleep that He promises in Ezekiel 34. I went up to the state prison in Nashville one time, went to death row, went in to see the electric chair, sat down in it, Did you know that the people that are in this area are extremely nervous? They're really on edge, you may say. And if you knew that you were there, and the next morning or that evening you'd be executed, could you sleep? Did you know Peter did? Acts chapter 12, James had been killed, and the scriptures tell us that an angel came, and that angel had to wake Peter up. He was sleeping. You know, now that wasn't Peter. Man, Peter tells the Lord he's not going to the cross. Peter tells the Lord that this guy's not going to get him, cuts his ear off. Peter curses and denies that he even knows the Lord. And now he's asleep. God gave him sleep. And do you not think that this was the rest and the sleep that God gives in regards to the fact that the coming kingdom rule of the Lord Jesus is the rest and the joy and the peace and the comfort that we have in knowing that one day He'll rule and reign? What about the wild beast? Just remember that the nature of the animals will be changed. If I were to go to sleep in the forest, a lion would probably come by and eat me up. But that'll be changed in the kingdom. There won't be any danger of serpents. And did you know that the Lord will provide music for you or for the people in this area in the forest and with the trees? Look to Isaiah chapter 55 for a moment. Isaiah 55. In verse 12, you should go out with joy and be led forth with peace, like the covenant of peace that Ezekiel mentions. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And that'll be the music that God will put you to sleep with. Won't that be great? And you won't even have to have a power bill or a gas bill. And then if you look back for a moment to Ezekiel 34, I want to mention two other things to you in regards to this time. And I know... And today I just wanted to try to make the Lord's Word a little bit more interesting to you and to make you to see some things that are of great value. Look with me in Ezekiel 34 and verse 26. And before we leave verse 25, you'll see that... The Lord will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and that they'll dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Did you know that that's what Jesus did when he came to the earth and began his public ministry? He was in the wilderness with the wild beast for 40 days and 40 nights. He was the millennial man. He was the man of the kingdom. And that's what Israel will be one day. That's what those who participate with the Lord Jesus in the millennial kingdom will be. And in verse 26, the Lord says, I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. I will cause the shower to come down in his season, and there shall be showers of blessing. And that's only true in the kingdom rule of the Lord Jesus. What does this mean? If you read Isaiah 55, verse 9 and so forth on through that, you'll see that God says, my thoughts are not as your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My thoughts are as the rain coming down. And when the Lord mentions here that He will give showers of blessings, what does this signify? Look back with me, if you will, in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And I want you to read several little passages with me in regards to this. Deuteronomy 32. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. It's his teaching. It's his doctrine. And in Isaiah 55, he says, my word will not return unto me void. This will be accomplished. It will come to pass. The showers of blessing will be the people of Israel, the sheep of His flock, the promises to whom He has made these covenants, and it will occur. Look with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms for a moment. The 72nd Psalm. Look in Psalm 72. This is a millennial psalm about the kingdom rule, when He will have dominion from sea to sea, when all the earth will worship Him. Look in verse 6. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth, and in His days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. And these showers are simply an outward and a visible sign of the truth of His doctrine, that His word will not return void, and that Israel, the land of Zion, is the place to whom the world will flow and flock to learn the truth of the Lord's word. Look with me, if you will, if you can find this. This is in the book of Micah. It's a past the book of Ezekiel. And look with me over to your right to the book of Micah, chapter 5, for a moment. Let me read this verse to you. Look in verse 7. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people, as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men, because the Lord is their king. Israel will be as the showers upon the grass. There is peace. They will sleep in the forest. David will be their shepherd, and there will be showers of blessing. Now, there's one more thing that I want to mention in Ezekiel 34, and it's found in verse 29. And I'd like for you to look there with me for a moment. In verse 29 of Ezekiel 34, the Lord says that He will do something else. He will raise up for them a plant of renown. And this word renown means name, or honorable, or authority. Do you remember in the Old Testament that when the sons of God sinned, that they were men of renown, giants, not like those that are playing tonight, but men of renown or of name. What does the Lord mean here? In the kingdom rule of the Lord Jesus, what does He mean? They won't hunger anymore. They won't bear the shame of the nations anymore. They shall know their Lord God. And the Lord says, I will raise up for them a plant of renown. I'm just going to mention this to you hurriedly, and I'll close. When the Lord began to restore the earth in Genesis chapter 1, He developed plants before He put them in the earth. And they were unique. And He did the planting or the tilling, but He made these plants before they were put in the earth. And they were unique. They were for the purpose of food. Because you see, when God made man, He told man not to till, but to dress the garden. And in the kingdom rule of the Lord Jesus, there'll be a special plant that the Lord says that He will raise up. And it'll be a plant of name. And there's really just one name that is of great importance. And that's the name which is above all others, that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this plant will be unique to the planting of the Lord. And it will be a part of this kingdom rule. And that's what I think that the prophet Isaiah means when he says that our Lord Jesus will grow up as a tender plant. And in the kingdom, this plant will be of great importance. He is the Word. The showers are typical of His doctrine. The sleep is a result of His Word. David is a result of the promise of His Word. And in the kingdom rule of the Lord Jesus, the Word of the Lord will be the thing that's prominent and that prevails. And I hope you'll be there. And I hope you'll enjoy that. With that, you're dismissed. God bless you.